In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We are here today at the Sunday of the Palms, remembering with the great feast the entrance of our Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. This great feast day, like the one that preceded it yesterday, Lazarus Saturday, has a theme, and it's a common theme, Saturday and Sunday. The theme is triumph and victory. We know from the gospel yesterday and from the service and what we remember on Lazarus Saturday, it becomes very clear that in this battle, in this war, who the enemy is. The enemy is death. The enemy is death. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead on the day before he entered into Jerusalem. And now on the Sunday of the Palms, the meaning of the victory as the triumph of the kingdom of God and the acceptance of the world, the acceptance by the world of Jesus as its only king is what we remember. I'll say that again. The meaning of the victory today for us is the triumph of the kingdom of God and the acceptance by the world of Jesus as its only king. Now, if you read the Gospels, if you're familiar, you hear them, this might strike you as kind of odd, and it does me. For one brief moment in the Gospels, we have Jesus being regarded as a king and the world worshiping him as its king. The kingdom of God is inaugurated today with Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. But something's wrong. You know, throughout the Gospels, Jesus resists this kind of being made a king in the earthly sense. He avoids it. In fact, up until now, he's been telling his disciples, he's been telling the people he comes into contact with, if he heals somebody or cures them, don't tell anyone what happened. He's been keeping the messianic secret that he is the Christ. And why? Because his time had not come. It was not ready for him to complete the work that God gave him to do. And he is about to go into that. That's why he's entering Jerusalem. He will do the thing he was born to do, the thing that God was made flesh to do. Now is the time. Before had not been the time. And we know from the reading today, if we just read one more verse after what's in the gospel section, we would have heard the Pharisees complaining. They said, well, there's nothing we could do now. The world has gone after him. They've bought what he has to sell. The Pharisees are throwing up their arms and proclaiming, the world is going after him. So a Christian today, that might seem shocking. The world going after Jesus, the world regarding him as its king, accepting the victory as the triumph of God's kingdom. I want to share something with you. When I was a young boy, maybe 8 or 9, you hear these things in church and you wonder sometimes, why is that? Palm Sunday always seemed a strange one to me, and it's kind of like what we're saying now. The world ultimately rejects Jesus. And I used to think, even as a boy, all these people are coming out and they're praising him. And they're throwing palms and blankets on the ground and saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're confessing him as the Messiah. All these people. And we know, of course, in the liturgical cycle, that just a few days later, at the end of the week, well, even before the end of the week, on Wednesday, he'll be betrayed by one of his 12. And then on Thursday, he'll be arrested and put on trial. And on Friday, beaten, spit upon, mocked, made to carry his cross, put to death, and lie in the tomb on Saturday. We know this. We anticipate it. So even as a boy, it seems strange to me. What's this little window of everybody all excited about Jesus and praising him? Why is that? it seemed odd to me. Even today, you know, you grow up, I know a little bit more about people. We know that people can be fickle. We know that people can be happy one moment and then they get bored and turn away. We know in the gospel of the sower, we can be like those ones who Jesus says, remember the parable of the sower. A man goes out to sow some seed. Some of it falls on the ground. Some of it falls on good soil. Some of it falls by the wayside and gets eaten up. Jesus talks about who the recipients of that seed are, and the seed is the Word of God. Sometimes the recipients receive the Word of God gladly, and they get excited. But then they fall away because Jesus says they have no root. They're not rooted in anything. So after the excitement dies down, they fall away. And Jesus says in the gospel, in times of temptation, he talks about the wind blowing and the rains, and it washes the seeds, and nothing grows. So people can be like that. That's a truth we know. That's one answer to the conundrum. Why today? Why is the world accepting Jesus today? And several days later, we'll put him to death and proclaim, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Another reason is sometimes we don't really understand, and they didn't at the time of Jesus, what he was bringing. You know, they proclaimed him a king, and they were anticipating a king. All the details in the Palm Sunday narratives show Jesus to be the answer to the prophecy. You know, he's riding in on a colt. They're proclaiming, Hosanna, Son of David. All the messianic prophecies have come true. Jesus gave a blind man sight. And then just the day before, he gave life to one who had been dead. Well, that's a sure sign that the Messiah is here. So they come out in droves. And we heard in today's gospel the reason so many people had come. They heard Jesus did this miracle. Let's see what all this is about. It's exciting. It's an attraction. But they miss who Jesus is and what his kingdom actually means. And we today often miss that too. We forget that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, entering into Jerusalem, to do what? To die. His victory is not an earthly victory. His victory is the victory of the kingdom of God, and that kingdom is not of this world. It's very plain in the Gospels. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus says. He is going to be victorious over death, not by calling Lazarus out of the tomb, but by himself submitting to death of his own free will, so that the entire race of humanity would be saved from sin, death, and corruption. Our enemies. Our enemies. So Jesus is on his way to the cross. And the cross is not a happy thing in the whole narrative. It's shameful. It's degrading. It's defeat in the eyes of the people. They thought they had lost. They were disappointed when Jesus was crucified. There's droves out to see him today when he enters into Jerusalem. But on the cross, he was all but abandoned. Who is there by Jesus on the cross? In some of the icons and in one of the Gospels, Mary, his mother, and John, his beloved disciple. Everyone else fled. They got scared. Even Peter, his closest, his chief, denied him. Said, I do not know that man. So we need to understand today of all days that the life in God, in Jesus Christ, is a life that goes the way of the cross. It's not an earthly victory. Jesus is not going to overthrow the earthly oppressors. He's not going to give money to the people who have no money. He's not going to make powerful and well-loved people who are not well-loved. If you follow him, if we take up our cross, we too will be spit upon, will be mocked. We may be put to death even. Are we ready for that? Are we ready for that, brothers and sisters in Christ? That's why we're here today. That's why we have the palms, and that's what Palm Sunday means for us. We need to remember, most importantly, our confession of Jesus Christ as King and Lord. Our own acceptance of him as our King. When did that happen? It happens at our baptism. It happens when we enter into the life of the church and become members of him. We often forget that the kingdom of God has already been inaugurated, and we were made citizens of it on the day of our baptism. On that day, we promised, or somebody promises on our behalf, as mostly is the case, to put our loyalty to that citizenship in the kingdom of heaven above all other loyalties. That's number one. So today, the palm branch that we get, and we'll make a procession outside of the church, in the parking lot and back in here, and we'll sing, Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us, and the troparion of the day. When we do that, we renew our oath to our King. We confess that everything in our life and in the world belongs to him, and there's no area in our life in which Jesus Christ is not to rule, is not to save, and is not to redeem. Remember our baptism today, brothers and sisters in Christ, and remember what it is that Jesus Christ is entering Jerusalem to do. In the Gospels, they had problems with that. They definitely had problems with that. That's why they all fled, and Jesus was left alone to die on the cross with his mother and one other person by his side. The droves came out to meet the earthly king, but when he didn't satisfy, they fled. One of my favorite passages in the New Testament, it's a personal favorite because it's kind of shocking when you hear it, and we don't read it today in the church, but it's Luke's account of the entrance into Jerusalem. It says the children are crying out in the temple, just like we heard in today's gospel, but then the Pharisees tell Jesus, look at all the noise these people are making. Why don't you make them stop? Why don't you control them? And Jesus says, if these would be silent, the very stones on the road would cry out. If the people won't praise God, an inanimate object will. Something God created that doesn't even have the breath of life would offer him the praise and the glory which he is due. Isn't that mind-boggling? And to fully understand what that means, we go earlier in Luke's gospel, to the very beginning, when John the Baptist goes out and preaching, and he tells the Jews and the crowds, don't say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, therefore we are sons of God. Don't you know that God can make of these stones sons of Abraham? So Luke kind of making the conclusion of that point. God can make sons out of stones if we are not willing to be the sons that he ordained us to be. That should be scary, brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about it. If we don't fulfill our calling and remember our baptism, God will make believers and he will have people follow him. And the exaggeration is even the stones of the earth will give God praise. So we can't say to ourselves, let's put this in a modern context, not like the Jews, we don't say we have Abraham as our father, but we might say, oh, my city was a very religious person. She was a good Orthodox. She was a founding member of St. George Church, or any church, totally dedicated her life to it. That's my identification with God and with the cross. That's not enough. Our baptism can't be the thing that happened in the past, some however many years ago. It can't be one thing that happened in time. That's not our inauguration and entrance into the kingdom of heaven. What is our renewal and our enactment of it every day of our lives. Loving God. And with that, and the only way that's done is through loving your neighbor. Prayer life. Participation in the body, the one body of Jesus Christ, church. Coming to the liturgical services, receiving the life-giving body and blood of Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist. We do that on the day of our baptism. It's not a done deal on that day. We are to receive it every time it's celebrated. And we're to prepare ourselves and do the things we have to do in order to allow us to partake of it, whatever that may be, confession. Making peace with our brother, coming to church more regularly, whatever it entails. Making the kingdom of God the only important thing in our life, the one thing that we value our membership in. All the other things in the world we identify with, our family relations, the things of society, our status, all of them fall away when we recognize that we are first and foremost citizens in the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is inaugurated on this event we remember today with our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem. The other gospel passage, there's four, by the way, there's four accounts of the entrance into Jerusalem, but the other one I like a lot, and we read it today at Matins, is the one from Matthew, because when the Pharisees complain about all the noise and about the children making a spectacle in the temple, Jesus says, "Have you never read?" And of course, he's going back to their scriptures. Of course, they've read it. They probably didn't understand it. "Have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and infants, thou, O Lord, hast ordained perfect praise?" The little ones, the children, the ones who have no malice or guile in their hearts, they know how to praise God, and that's perfection. So maybe the stones on the road seem a little far-fetched to us. They're not going to open up their mouths and praise God. But the little children, the ones we must become like, Jesus says, in order to have heaven, in order to enter into heaven. You must become like these, pure in heart, totally trusting in God, loyal to him, and devoted to what he does for us. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a glorious feast day today. We are blessed to gather together to celebrate divine liturgy and to have so many faithful people here in our midst to hear the word of God. Let us always remember, though, what the palm means. And when we take a palm, it's kind of a symbol of our renewing that baptismal vow that was made at one time for us, making it real today, and knowing that we have to belong to Jesus Christ today and tomorrow and the next day, not 45 years ago. God's kingdom is real. It's inaugurated today, and it will come in its fullness when Jesus Christ our Lord comes at the end to restore all things. And God is all and in all, and Jesus is the King in the new kingdom. On that day, we want the Lord to recognize us. We want him to know that we belong to him. We want him to see us as one of his members. So today our worship is fulfilled in the prayers, in the gospel, and in the Eucharist. Thank God for this glorious feast. May he lead us into Holy Week and Passion Week with a pure heart and able to receive the gifts He has to give us. Forgiveness of sins, the participation in His mystical supper, and above all, life in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.